from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dark Child 99.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say baby, I love you, you ain't running game. Say my name, you acting kinda shady, ain't calling me
yep,
baby.
You know what this means.
Say my name,
Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. Him and Paul Zeiss have had some good battles in recent weeks. We can hope for another one. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He's also on our screen and could be on yours if you go to 937thefan.com. So are there other ways to get on there and actually watch it? The Odyssey app, perhaps?
You can go on YouTube.
YouTube? Thank you. That's another way to watch it. Child, how are you?
Doing well, Joe. Paul, how are you guys doing?
Good. Wonderfully.
And we good. How are you doing?
We all have the same question. Is something of significance going to happen here? We've been waiting weeks, perhaps months, and last night they went into a game with, I don't even have time to list the names of subpar borderline major leaguers, including on the bench where Alika Williams sat. Are they going to bring in some hitters? Are they going to make a significant move by 6 p.m.?
You would think, you would hope. Personally, I don't know. I don't think it's obvious. I don't think there's a clear path to it. And I think the three names that, you know, I was most interested in were Jesse Winker, Blaine Thomas, Tommy Pham. All three of those guys have been moved. There have been other names that they've been linked to. You know, Yandy Diaz, the first baseman with the Tampa Bay Rays, is one. To me, I don't know if it makes a ton of sense because Rowdy Tellez has really played solid there. I don't know if that really fits the immediate need that the Pirates really do need.
May I interest you in a gently used Taylor Ward, Kevin Pillar, Josh Bell? How about going a little bigger for Brent Rooker? He's still there. Luis Robert's still there.
So we can start with Rooker because one of my sources on the A's side that I touch base with, that it's going to take a lot to be able to get Brent Rooker. I mean, this is a guy, tremendous player, obviously, this year on the hitting side. And then as a clubhouse guy, really thought of highly there in Oakland. There's a perception there in Oakland, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but that the way they've played in July, they've played above 500 baseball with a lot of their young guys back to healthy. And with how club controllable Rooker is, there's a perception there in Oakland that Rooker could be part of the winning strategy for the A's moving forward. So it's not so much that they're, A, they would be asking for a lot for Rooker, but B, I think the A's think they're a lot closer to contending than may be perceived on the outside just based on their win-loss record because of how the young guys have played recently. So Rooker, as much as he would be an impactful addition, I don't know that he's one that A, the Pirates have a good chance on, but really that any team has a good chance on. I would be pretty surprised if the A's moved on from Rooker, but certainly we can get into some of those other names that you mentioned there, Joe.
Well, I have very little interest in Josh Bell other than, you know, if they're going to bring him in, I guess it gives him a little bit of flexibility at first and, you know, DH maybe or whatever and a little bit of power. But I just don't understand why they wouldn't go get at least one outfielder who can actually hit.
I think they should. I think they want to. You know, I think that's more speculation on my part than anybody saying that concretely.
Right, right, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, yeah. Andrew. You, if they want to, they can. This idea that somehow they can't, they have to pay the exact price and not a prospect more or not a little bit more value wise. I mean, do you want to improve or don't you? That's what you have to ask yourself. And if you do, that means that maybe you stop trying to make the absolute perfect deal and stop trying to, you know, try and get exactly the right value that you got. Go make a deal. I don't believe it's that hard. I really don't.
Well, I think it's this. I don't think it's for lack of trying. I really don't. And this is not me by many means making any excuses for the front office or things of that nature. But I do think this farm system, while it does have some big name guys, the fact of the matter is that it is fairly top heavy. So unless the Pirates are willing to part with any of these really top bona fide blue chip guys, which it doesn't seem like they are just based off the lack of activity, like they are dangling, I would have to believe that they are dangling a lot of prospects in the system. The reality is just that other teams might not be interested in them. I mean, let's look at some of these other trades that have been made. The Cleveland Guardians, for lack of better phrasing, overspent for Lane Thomas. Yusei Kikuchi, the Astros overspent to acquire him. Now, I know we're not talking about pitching, but I think that's part of it is just that maybe that capital, maybe the willingness to overpay isn't there. And I don't think it's my place to say whether that's right or wrong. I think that's just the reality of it is that with where the state of the farm system is, with a lot of guys being here, the ones who are waiting in the minors have either been looked over, guys like Henry Davidson, Leover Peguero are still there, who are interesting but not true prospects, or there's guys that are deeper down the farm system that aren't as heralded.
Did the Phillies overpay for Austin Hayes? Did the Phillies overpay for Austin Hayes? Isn't that who they traded for?
Yeah, they overpaid for him as well as Estevez, the closer from the Angels.
Okay, so
that's Dave Dombrowski. He always overpays.
Okay, but that's the point. Do you want to make a deal or not? I mean, right. You've been hoarding cap. You've been hoarding prospects for 5 years. You've been, you know, okay, good. You've got a lot of prospects now. What are you going to do with those prospects? So to me, if you have to overpay a little bit, you have to overpay.
May I interject for a moment?
I will, but I'm just saying, like, I don't understand why we give a pass to not wanting to overpay. Go ahead.
Respectfully, I say, Destiny's Child, I think it is your place to say whether it's right or wrong. Seriously, you said that in reference, and I understand as a reporter, not a columnist, that there's a line there sometimes, but I think when it comes to should the Pirates overpay to get somebody in here that will help them win now, I want to hear from you whether you think that would be right or wrong. Like if it took an overpay for Brent Rooker right now, a higher prospect than anybody else is willing to part with, or an extra prospect, would that be right or wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't follow that. I mean, Derek Shelton said it best himself. I think the issue is, I'm going to try to keep this as straightforward as I can. I would not overpay for guys. However, if you are going to overpay, it should not be for these bigger name pieces like a Brent Rooker that, frankly, Rooker might cost four prospects. That might be four or five guys, just based off of conversations that I've had. That would be a very big deal versus there are other guys that are more expendable. Like, I really think Tommy Pham would have been a great fit in Pittsburgh because, you know, expiring contract, an impact bat, fits a need as an outfielder who could play the defense. And I'm not trying to live in an alternate reality. My point there is if you're going to overpay, it should have been for a more marginal player versus the ones who are remaining out there, frankly, are bigger splash guys with more control that are going to require more prospect capital. And I don't know if any of those guys are truly big enough impact guys. Like, Taylor Ward is a nice piece, I don't think he's enough to push the Pirates into the postseason. I think he could help, but you'd need to get a couple of guys like that.
What about Rooker? Is he big enough? What about Vlad Guerrero? What about Luis Robert? Are you still knocking on the Guerrero door? Where if you're Charrington, you're saying, or I saw, here's an example, Destiny's Child, was Ken Rosenthal today said Luis Robert Jr. probably not going to trade because they think they can get a better deal in the offseason. So if you're the Pirates, why not make that call and say, what do you think you can get in the offseason? We'll top it. They should have enough prospects right now based on 4 years of abject tanking to where they could make four gigantic prospect deals and still have plenty left over. That's all they've done is hoard prospects for 4 years of tanking.
Well, in theory, yes. The issue there is that we are probably 1 year too late for those kinds of moves where the prospects would still be just prospects, right? And I say that to say that, okay, like Henry Davis, number one overall pick, guy who probably the Pirates shouldn't give up on, in my opinion, because he has more value to the Pirates than elsewhere. But right now, his value is at an all-time low, right? In terms of what you could probably get for him on the open market. Leofer Peguero at one point in time was the centerpiece of a trade. His value is fairly low right now, just given that he hasn't had a great season in Indianapolis. So I'm not saying that, they should have made a trade in 2023. I think the point there is that, yes, there are still guys in the system, but a lot of them are really close to the big leagues. The ones who are those impact guys, save Tamar Johnson, like Bubba Chandler and Braxton Ashcraft, could both pitch here next year. And I bring up those names because of those three, you probably would have to include two to get Luis Robert Jr. And I don't know that that is a trade that, frankly, I would make. I would have rather made, if I were the Pirates, I would have made a much smaller play, get an outfielder who was available, like a Winker, like a Thomas, like a Pham. I don't think the opportunity has passed them by. It's just now a much more difficult market to maneuver around, which might mean giving up prospect capital for guys that, frankly, aren't as heralded or as highly thought of as they probably were a year ago at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the thing about it is... We talk about guys that we shouldn't give up on. That it's amazing to me how that always changes. Because didn't they just give up on Quinn Priester?
But I mean, part of that is also prior regime. Part of that is he tried it at the big league level, and you have a surplus in pitching. So I don't know if that's a true apples to apples.
Well, you got a surplus in catching too.
Oof, I don't know about that. I will disagree with you on that one, Paul, just because we don't know what Andy Rodriguez is going to look like when he comes back next year. Is he going to be playing every day behind the plate coming back from a pretty serious elbow injury? That's no guarantee. And I like Jason DeLay a lot as a backup, but I don't know if Jason DeLay is more than just a really good depth piece in your organization.
And so you've got Joey Bart.
I do like Joey Bart, but Joey Bart is the only guy who is here past 2024. Well, not the only guy. Rodriguez is a question mark. Davis is a question mark. DeLay is a proven commodity that's nice to have, but right. No guarantee. So I don't think it would be fair to say it would be a surplus at catching the same way that it's a surplus with pitching.
Would you agree that Ben Charrington, and I just wrote last week about the good moves he's made because we don't talk about those, and he has made it. Chapman was a great move. The biggest move maybe in recent organizational history. One of the biggest moves in Pirates franchise history was making the right decision on Skeens over Cruz. But he's failed on so many fronts. Would you agree that he's failed this team by being too patient with the likes of Jack Sawinski? Very quietly, suddenly, Sawinski's gone the other day. We had to watch this guy for how many months and how many at-bats before they finally decided no more?
I mean, I think what's weird about that one, too, and I wouldn't use the word failed to say for Ben Charrington there, but I do think with the Sawinski thing, it's interesting because they did try sending him down for a week, and frankly, he should have been down there for longer. That's my opinion, is that I don't think he actually got a sizable runway to work with down in AAA. This was inevitable, right? Just given that you were allowing a guy to consistently struggle at the big league level, offensively, defensively, all of the above, like, that was overdue, in my opinion. And I think that was a byproduct of the guys who were waiting in AAA. You know, Joshua Palacios was banged up. They probably would have liked to have had him up here earlier. Juwan Bey was hurt for a good stretch of that. Like, I think there were these guys that they would have liked to have had up there. But Sawinski, you know, due to injury, due to necessity, was up here for probably longer than he should have been. And, you know, I can only help but wonder, what does that mean for moving forward? Because the reality is he spent 4 months up here in the big leagues basically struggling for 90% of that. You know, I can't imagine that's easy on a guy. And I think really that was born out of necessity. But yeah, it's a tough situation, I would say, just there in terms of what we've seen in center field. But certainly the Michael A. Taylor home run last night was an exception to the rule of what's been the play in center field this season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the frustration that I have the most with this group is, I mean, and I wrote about it this morning. It's very clear the players are scratching and fighting and you know, resilient and basically just trying their ass off to win every possible game they can win. It would be a dereliction of duty, in my opinion, if they don't go get a couple of. Because at the ultimately, I refuse to believe that they're going to be able to, you know, keep finding these magic potions every single night to win these games the way they've won them the last couple of nights. It would be dereliction of duty, in my mind, if they didn't go and try and get this group some help before the 6 o'clock deadline. You know what I mean? 6.5 hours from now. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, no, I perfectly agree. I think it's more, I think maybe my answer here is just that you have to be a little bit more creative than the hard and fast of, okay, let's trade prospects for a big league level guy. I think part of it has to be, at least in my opinion, I would think that a good strategy here would be explore what you can do with the guys in the major league roster that you either view as expendable or redundant, whatever it may be. Whether that's your Aroldis Chapman, your Martin Perez's, Marco Gonzalez, whoever that is on these expiring contracts, I'm not saying they have a ton of value, right? I'm not trying to sell you, you know, some beat-up car and say that it isn't what it is, but maybe that's where the greater value is. Maybe Aroldis Chapman as a late-inning reliever, while he is helpful to this Pirates team, you view it as the bullpen, yeah, it's mostly struggled in the first half this season, but if you can beef that up in other areas and you think that you can get guys back from the injured list, or you could move Luis Ortiz back there once the rotation's in a better spot, maybe moving Chapman to get a bat is a more logical solution than, hey, we're going to trade prospects that maybe other teams aren't as high on as we are internally, something of that nature. Maybe that's the solution. Maybe that's how you go about this. But I think you can't go, you know, quietly into the night without making any moves before 6 p.m. I don't think that's an option.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Paul, may I engage Destiny's Child in a game of free
Absolutely.
Association?
Absolutely.
You ready, sir?
Always am.
Will the Pirates make the playoffs?
No.
The main reason they won't make it, in your not-so-humble opinion, is what?
Offense.
Michael A. Taylor will be on the big league roster the rest of this year.
Yeah, yes.
Alika Williams will still be here when they return home.
Yes.
Why?
They will not promote Nick York for a little bit longer, give him more time in AAA, and I imagine the Bay injury situation, Williams will be up there for a little bit.
Connor Joe will be here the rest of the year.
Yes.
Nick Gonzalez will return when? Be careful on this one. Shelty's listening.
I will say August 14th.
Yeah, let's go August 14th. No, I'm not going to pull my Nostradamus with a particular date this time. Let's say end of August, early September, right around Labor Day.
All right, let's go. Ortiz.
That's gold, man.
It really is. Ortiz is in this rotation for the rest of the year.
Yeah, sure.
Pick a name the Pirates will go get.
Well, they already got a left-handed reliever. Let's go Kevin Pillar. Why not?
Josh Bell, too?
I don't see the need.
Yes or no, will Chapman be traded?
No.
Will Bednar be traded?
No.
Why don't we ever talk about that?
I think the value is just, you know, beyond just the pitching. But also, he is still relatively affordable at this point, being in the arbitration years. For a closer, I mean, he's one of the better ones in the league. It's been a struggle this year, but I think he's still a valuable guy to have.
56 games left. Over, under, Skeen starts 9.5.
Ooh. That's a great line. I'm going to say under, but 9.
When will Jared Jones return now?
I don't know. August 14th.
I will say terrible. August 14th.
Let's keep rolling with that. Let's keep going August 14th.
Okay, let's do that. All right, that does it. Ball, would you like to say anything to Destiny's Child?
No, I think we covered all the ground. Always a good time. Always our pleasure.
You can read Andrew Destin's work at postgazette.com, and I will say it's fine work. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks as always, guys. Take care now.
What'd you make of that?
Good. That was good.
It's Kevin Pillar. It probably will wind up being Kevin Pillar and or Josh Bell.
I mean, I guess it's better than nothing.
But not enough.
But you know, Pillar, I guess, could help. You know, obviously he's an upgrade.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing that's frustrating is we're not asking them to go out and sign, you know, like I said yesterday, we're not asking them to go out and sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or trade for him or whatever, right? I mean,
well, I am, but
we're talking about having we're talking about being better than what I call the black hole of Pirates outfielders, not named Brian Reynolds. It's not a very tall, you know, building to scale, is it?
Yeah, that should have happened already.
Right,
and
exactly.
The fact that we had to sit here and go through Sawinski for 5 months is ridiculous. April, May, June, July, 4 months. Just ridiculous. So it's almost, in some ways, it's too late, but it really, there's still time to do stuff and maybe something big. All right, coming up top of the hour, the Pirates manager on his birthday, and I have an incredible tweet from Mr. Bob.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Smizek, Pirates manager Derek Shelton on his birthday at the top of the hour. Will he get a birthday present from his general manager? That's the question right now. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Limits, an update on Roman Wilson.
According to Alan Saunders of Steelers Now, he left practice after being tackled on a jet sweep in 7 shots. He said he's not quite sure what the injury might have been. The trainer was looking at his hip and back area.
Man, that would be, for an already thin position, that would be really bad, needless to say, right? I mean, there's some people believing that he'll be the number 2 receiver, Paul.
I think he probably will be, if healthy.
Well, I will say that if it's, you know, significant enough that he, you know, whatever, this is a position we've been talking about for a long time. that already needs to get better, right? So if he's out,
they got problems.
They've got, I mean, again, we talk about the Pirates, and one of my big frustrations with the Steelers is that they haven't fully, you know, that they haven't fully fixed their receiving core. You know, we've been talking about a number two receiver for 6 months now. They've had a lot of time to try and figure it out. They drafted one here who was a candidate for that, and I don't know, it's not a good situation that he's hurt right now.
All right, we'll keep you updated on everything happening at Steeler camp, but it is trade deadline day, and people are fired up. Bob Smizek, very nice man, legend in Pittsburgh media history. Would you agree with both those assertions, Paul?
Absolutely.
Bob was good to you on your way up, yes?
Absolutely. I consider him a mentor, and I tell you, that Fiesta Bowl, you remember the Fiesta Bowl that we always talk about that
yeah.
we went to and we stayed out in that resort?
Yes, I do.
I spent basically that entire week, or at least four days, I think. Although I was there the whole week, but I think Bob Smizek said he flew in like 4 days before the game or whatever it was. And so I spent a couple of days, like really a lot of time with him, and I found him to be hilarious. I found him to be, you know, really engaging, and so it was like he went from being this mythical figure to me, who I talked to a little bit at work, to I really like this guy. Like, this guy is a great guy. He's a great guy, and obviously a legendary writer. Yes.
And I think, I don't want to speak for Bob, but I think his passion was baseball, or is baseball, and his Pirate tweets are always very interesting. Here's one from 4 hours ago. Listen up, Sheltie critics. If manager of the year were picked today, he'd be leading candidate to win. Who has done more with less? Pitching excellent, but only Keller has been here all season. Hitting an abomination, widely criticized at home, but highly respected elsewhere. I wrote about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, Paul, that Sheltie's actually done a good job this season, contrary to popular belief. What do you make of all this? What do you make of Smize's tweet?
I think that if you watch the last few days, I mean, I think Derek Shelton has certainly pushed every single button that needs to be pushed. I mean, he's pushed every right button, right? But as we always say, quite often the difference between the managers that are successful and the managers that aren't is that the moves that they make actually turn into something. Like, you know what I mean? If he puts in Joey Bart and Joey Bart strikes out, the, you know, 2 days ago, nobody says a word about it, right?
Yes.
But Joey Bart came through. If, I'll give you another great one. If, you know, they unintentionally, intentionally walked with the
best Alvarez.
Alvarez, okay? So now you walk him, but there's a risk because a single ties the game now.
Yes,
it does. You don't need a home run. A single ties the game. So if Bednar, you know, if that pitch is a little lower or whatever and the guy doesn't pop it up, say he just rips a little seeing eye single through, now all of a sudden that looks like a really stupid move. So my point is, we spend a lot of time ripping managers for moves they make that don't work out.
Yeah.
I always try and look at, was it the right move at the time? And, you know, a case in point was 2 days ago, and City Limits got into it with us. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. If I'm the Diamondbacks with first base open in a one-run game, and Jared Triola, who was 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 going into, and he was pretty, to a couple of his at-bats were terrible, I'm not pitching to Joey Bart. I'm walking him. I'm doing the unintentional, intentional walk thing, whereas I'm going to throw some pitches and see if I can get him to swing at some garbage, and I'm walking him, and now I'm going to face Triolo and take my chances
yeah.
that I can get Triolo out. But, again, I said that from the start. That wasn't a hindsight is 2020 type thing. I said that as soon as Joey Bart, you know, they pinch hit, you know, Joey Bart. But my point is, if, you know, if the manager walks Joey Bart and Triolo hits a three-run homer, he's going to get ripped, even though in my mind it would have been the right strategy. So I think that Shelton, one thing that's happened for him in a good way is in recent weeks, every move he's made seemingly has worked out. And so that's good. But I agree with Smizek that, you know, he's done a lot and he's done a really good job, you know, of getting the Pirates to where they're at. But I can't go all the way to he's a leading candidate for manager of the year from the standpoint of when you have the starting pitching that they've had.
I know, but he didn't have Skeens for over a month. Jared Jones has left the rotation. Falters left the rotation.
But again, even before that, but again, their starting pitching has been ridiculously good. Even before they had Skeens, their starting pitching was good. All I'm saying is I think that he deserves a lot of credit, and he's a definite Manager of the Year candidate.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, there are certainly many choices.
I mean, if you look at the Astros, they were dead in the water a month ago, and now they're, you know, in right in the thick of the wild card. I mean, there's some other guys. How about, you know, I don't know that the guy coaching managing the Brewers. I mean, somehow he's managed to keep that team in first place.
Definitely.
Comfortably in first place, and I don't think they're that good.
A lot of people thought they were coming back to the pack.
Right.
Smizek says almost 2 days until the trade deadline. If the Pirates stand pat with a roster that includes Taylor, A. Williams, Bay, Triolo, Grandal, Sawinski, and a gaping hole at second base. This was a couple days ago. They have absolutely no interest in being competitive for the final 2 months of the season. I think we all agree on that. We'll keep you updated as we get towards 6 p.m. The manager is next, Derek Shelton. He was on the record saying they needed a bat. Let's talk to Shelty about the trade deadline and about where his team stands right now. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.